And hi, this is April Morley.
And we are the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
This podcast is a service of the Enterprise Value Collective, a community for business value-focused leaders and practitioners, and is sponsored by our value consultancy, Genius Drive.
Our mission, that's to help you accelerate and optimize the value articulation in each of your customer engagements and throughout your customer lifecycle. And we've got a very special guest today. He is a fractional CRO and go-to-market advisor. His new company, where he's the founding partner of, it's called The Sales Conundrum. Welcome, Steve Peck.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here.
Steve, you had an incredible LinkedIn article that I read the other day, and you started to talk about what you see as one of the biggest challenges in B2B sales and marketing. Let's start there. What do you think is one of the big challenges that we're facing today that we might not have faced a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of new challenges. And I think that's an age old, as long as sales and marketing has been around, there's been challenges to overcome. So, you know, for me, it's how does your organization adapt and evolve to those challenges? But as it relates to today's market, I think it's really macroeconomic factors that are driving a lot of the challenges that we on the front line see, both sales and marketing. And a big part of that is with businesses, you know, struggling in different ways, with budgets being constrained. You know, as sellers, a lot of the purchasing decisions of our buyers are being heavily scrutinized in today's economy, basically. So, you know, previously, even smaller sales that took one, maybe two levels of approvals to get done, that's now taking three or four. So the buying committee is getting bigger. In fact, I was just working with a client and we had a sales cycle that was going on. And with our champion, you know, came forth and basically said, look, 2 years ago, me and my boss could make this decision ourselves. Now it actually has to go through eight levels of approval. And this was for a 20,000, you know, reoccurring deal. It was a small purchase as it relates to the enterprise, but you know, it's creating this complexity that ultimately is increasing everybody's cost of sales and the customer acquisition cost. And there's studies out there, right? Simplicity DX put out a study that, you know, an average B2B sales customer acquisition cost has grown by 222% over the past couple years. And you know, this is a time when revenue leaders on their side are having the same budget constraints, you know, so they're being tasked with hiring fewer people, having less marketing air cover, yet their cost of sales is increasing, you know, which obviously creates big challenges across the board.
So you had some really specific advice on how to address this around using specific industry knowledge. Can you share more about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, industry, I see industry knowledge is a key component in a way to obviously differentiate yourself and make that transition from a vendor selling a solution to a trusted partner. So, you know, for organizations, it's really about finding ways to inject that industry knowledge as a value offering throughout the sales process, wherever possible. So what I've been honing over the years and experimenting a lot more with recently with my clients is a concept that I've coined is niche knowledge selling. So effectively, you know, what that is, it's an exercise to really think as an organization, you know, what is the unique perspective, knowledge, insights that you can bring to the market specifically to your B2B buyers. And I'll talk a little bit about how you can deliver that, you know, beyond traditional content marketing. But, you know, what is that unique perspective? And the niche component is it doesn't have to be huge, right? It just has to be something that your buyers may not have access to otherwise, but something that can either move their business forward or in many cases, just position your champion to look better in the organization. So, mm-hmm. You know, an example of that, and this kind of started, I founded a company back in 2016. And if you want to talk about niche, what we did, it was a SaaS solution that provide analytics into downloadable content. So marketing, PDF resources like eBooks, white papers. We showed marketers how their audiences were consuming that content so that they can understand these investments they were making in marketing, how prospects were engaging in mass, how individual prospects were consuming the content so sales could sell to them, things like that. So it was a very niche product that delivered niche insights, but it was something that at the time no marketers had, and something that we used to basically restructure our sales approach, where we led with our marketing team, who were well-versed in the aggregate analytics we captured, and were able to effectively open doors by being able to share this information and then ultimately consult. And these were leading marketers with organizations like Salesforce, with Microsoft. We're able to consult them on how to design better content to drive better engagement and lead capture. And, that was a small bit of information that made their team collectively better, that opened the doors to allow us to establish partnerships that ultimately, uncovered pain and led to a sales cycle and, new business opportunity.
Yeah, and in that, so it wasn't really the product that was being sold. It was that unique point of view and the insights. And I love that. And like you said, it didn't have to be something huge, but it was something that was going to be important to the customer. And that gets us to the second point of what you wrote about, which was not just the niche knowledge selling, but making sure that whatever you're doing, it's customer centric. Talk about what that means to you.
It means everything, right? And like the customer centric approach, it's not something controlled by just sales or marketing. It's something that has to be in the DNA of your organization. This is mission level directives. I've been with organizations where sales and on the other side, customer success obviously takes that mindset, but it's not ingrained in the company of doing customer centric. Put the customer first mindset, and it's a challenge, right? So just a precursor of what it means is first, it starts at the top, it starts at the CEO level, and it has to be ingrained in terms of, everything we do is with the customer in mind and delivering to value to the customer in mind. So, on the sales cycle, it's the perspective cycle, it's the prospective customer piece. And that's, again, really around not just facilitating that knowledge, bringing new insights to the customer, and then, continuing through with that. So, Tom, as you pointed out, it's not just about the product. It's not just about the service we offer, but it's what is more and more customers. And it's interesting because more and more customers are moving away from relying on or even using vendor provided resources, right? So G2 did a benchmark of over 1,000 B2B buyers. And, the vast majority are saying they are minimizing or will not use vendor provided resources. It's all about third party. It's all about internal discussions. There's studies out there that show customers or vendors are involved in about 17% of a sales cycle. So, 83% of the time, they're not even in the room, right? They don't have the ability to influence the sale like they used to when information wasn't as freely available. So, for me, in tying it back to that customer-centric mindset, it's really thinking through everything that the customer would need from kind of start to finish to run the evaluation be successful in that process, to learn about the industry and expand their thinking about what, your type of solution could bring to the market, which is key. But again, it really ties back to making sure your broader organization is on board with that. And sometimes that's something you can or cannot control. So, having to navigate those waters as well.
What are your thoughts on a possible third approach to addressing the customer acquisition cost challenge, being generating confidence in the decision so that the buying team can really overcome indecision and, stalling deals, building up that trust to help them move the decision forward? What's your perspective?
Yeah, and this is, it's a good kind of segue, and it is related to that initial question and that mindset of customer centricity. So I kind of touched upon it, where it's, you know, really putting yourselves in the buyer's shoes. And it's funny, as I go back to that concept of, you know, of niche knowledge selling, and, you know, many organizations can struggle with the point of view or that unique perspective they can bring to the table. And, you know, but it's not an easy thing to do. However, you know, the de facto could be, you know, if nothing else, your organization probably has the most experience in helping, you know, running sales cycles or helping people evaluate the type of product that you're offering. So even that, it's not as strong as that unique perspective, but even that can be a, you know, your knowledge area yourself. So what that is, you know, what that does, and bringing it back to that kind of third pillar, is all about being that facilitator through the process, you know, helping them think through how to do it, you know, providing the necessary resources, the framework, showing them how it can be efficiently done. Because at the end of the day, you know, your prospective customers, they don't want to spend more time evaluating a solution than needed, right? They have day jobs. They have things they need to get done. They have pain that they're looking for a solution for. So, you know, by helping them through that and mapping out a clear process with all the resources and being organized on that front, it can be a game changer just in terms of how you're not just perceived and trusted by your prospective buyers, but it's interesting, because all of a sudden, if they adopt your methodology and your process and your resources and your tools, you've established a playbook on how they're evaluating that solution. So, you know, what will follow is that if you haven't already cut out the competitors will have to now follow your process, which, you know, obviously would give you a leg up as you know, it's your playbook that they're having to kind of bend to at the request of your prospective customers.
Steve, where does value and outcome, kind of an outcomes approach, come into play with regard to the niche knowledge, the customer centricity, and this kind of confidence building?
Are you when you say outcomes, are you saying outcomes for the sellers and the sales team,
or no, outcomes for the customer? Yeah,
makes sense.
We're the outcomes that we can deliver as a vendor to the customer. How does that kind of outcomes based or value selling approach match up to kind of what you're preaching here with regard to the niche knowledge, the customer centricity, and the confidence?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's tied together, because you're you know, again, it's that thought partnership. Customers in today's world, like, they're looking for more than just a solution provider. They're looking to someone who can help elevate their thinking on, you know, a number of levels. So and there's interesting examples in the market today, like you know, I don't know if you're following what, you know, OpenAI is doing with their sales team, but, you know, they're taking a different approach, right? They've removed quotas. It's all commission-based piece, but, you know, they've labeled their salespeople as Sherpas, right? Mm-hmm. And the Sherpa is to help take that customer and their knowledge about applications for all things AI, you know, how you can adopt AI in the enterprise, how you can be successful, you know, even beyond OpenAI can do, which is a lot, but to facilitate that transaction. So, you know, they're opening the door for an opportunity for themselves, right? Creating the need, the demand, the want, but by educating their customers in this area, you know, and maybe that's their niche of they know how to do it. They're experts in the space. The customers can get more from the end solution. And that end solution, again, isn't just going to be a product, but it's the whole approach to how they're going to change their business. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's other real world examples out there. I spent a number of years at Oracle NetSuite. So, you know, very different from my startup days, but a big, large organization. And their kind of niche knowledge was, you know, what they brought to the table was, yes, is how to evaluate an ERP. So they had that evaluation piece, but really they brought in trained accountants early, even before a sales discussion begun, to start getting the customer thinking about how you can change your business processes to maximize the automations and the efficiencies gained from adopting an ERP solution, whether it was NetSuite, whether it was one of the competitors, it didn't matter. It was just opening their thinking and then really getting in the weeds of like, no, this is how you should run your business, your whole lead to cash process, which was fascinating. So it opened the door, it helped people understand the value. It helped your champions then articulate the value to those 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines of, people that would ultimately need to approve it. And just position them to then, once they decided to move forward with the solution, implement the solution, get more immediate value out of it because their mind had been opened by experts with the right knowledge in terms of how to best use it.
So you've seen this approach play out across large companies, smaller companies. What are some of the challenges that an organization could face when trying to go down this path, and how could they overcome it?
Because there's a couple factors that create challenges. I mean, first and foremost is coming up like what is your new unique area of expertise? I feel like marketers have gotten well versed in this, because this is at the core of content marketing, right? And thought leadership, which is having, is proving less and less effective as more and more content gets put out there, especially with the advent of AI, right? It's just a proliferation of content. Everyone's got a point of view, and it's hard to, be found and differentiated in that space. So, but you still need to develop that point of view and what that unique expertise you bring to market, which can be challenging. So, that's where I would encourage people to get outside perspectives, because a lot of times you don't really know what you know until someone points it out, because it could seem obvious to you, right? When I was bootstrapping my company at Docalytics, I knew everything about how people consume downloadable content. I just assumed it wasn't a big deal. But for people who didn't have access to that information, it was eye-opening. So sometimes bringing in third parties who can assess your skill set, the data you have access to, your processes, and show you what's unique about your organization can be a huge help. But I think, once you find that, it's how do you cut through the noise and get the opportunity to explore, convey that information and explore it with your prospective customers. And that's where, what I'm seeing with more forward-thinking organizations is you kind of change how you approach sales, and you don't lead with a classically sales-trained account executive who is just there to hit their numbers and sell you a solution. You lead with, and it needs to go a level beyond thought leadership content. You lead with those industry experts, and you give access, privilege to the customer to those industry experts, so you can have more of a peer-to-peer conversation with your buyers, and you can, help them think through problems. I'm working with a company now that's all around their knowledge area is retail automation and how to drive that. And it's a complex challenge for a lot of, large retailers out there. We're bringing in people who are industry experts in that space. That's their first exposure to the brand. And it's a one-on-one or, one to team conversation with these folks to talk through some of the problems, some of the trends we're seeing out there. And it's, delivering the insights packed in that white paper, but in a discussion format. So the challenge there is restructuring your sales process and your team to lead with those industry experts. And then I'll just add the third one, because you got to think about how to incentivize everyone, is figuring out ways to measure and incentivize and then measure how the impact that these industry experts are having, because they're not ultimately closing the deals. They're just helping open doors, build that credibility, and then act as a resource, not just throughout the sales process, but into the customer world as well, where you're focused on kind of the renewals, the upsells, the expansions of the partnerships.
Steve, what's the one piece of advice you'd like to leave our Enterprise Value Collective with today?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think the biggest thing, and just to keep it simple, is like, it just stop selling and start teaching, right? Like, it's about, you know, getting in there. Your organization has a lot to offer. There's things you think about every day that your prospective buyers are not, or your customers are not. So, you know, if you can just be patient, the selling will come naturally once you build the relationship. In fact, once you have that relationship, it's a lot easier to sell to your existing customer base. But if you can just hold off on the selling for a little bit, I know it's hard when you got quarters and annual quotas and all of those things, but lead with the teaching, you know, the selling will naturally come. So it's, you know, having that mindset would be something I'd leave your audience with.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It was fun. I look forward to seeing how it's used, and definitely welcome to continue the conversation with any of your listeners who, you know, might want to dive in deeper.
Awesome. Definitely sign up for the Enterprise Value Collective if you haven't done so yet. LinkedIn.com, GeniusDrive.com website to stay in touch on the latest events, tools, insights. If you like this episode, hit the like button, subscribe so you can stay up to date. And until next time, our Enterprise Value Collective, keep sharing and growing.